Gemara here, and Gimel and Beis and Dalon and Aleph, which we've been discussing, the Machlokes between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, the basic argument between them. And the last thing that we've been discussing a couple of weeks ago was the Machlokes between the really Bali Tosis and the Rif. And I want to get back to that and try to finish up a different perspective on that issue and to connect it to another very important issue that the Bali Tosis bring up. So what we had is as follows. The Machlokes, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, we all are familiar with, whether Eidim Mesira Karsi or Eidim Chasima Karsi. The Eidim have to be present when the get or the shtar is handed over, or do the Eidim have to sign onto the get and the shtar? Eidim Mesira or Eidim Chasima? It's pretty clear, according to almost all the Rishonim, that if you take the position of Eidim Chasima Karsi, the position of Rabbi Meir, that you're going to reject Rabbi Eliezer. If you need witnesses to sign in the shtar, then you're not going to accept the idea that a shtar, which is handed over in the presence of witnesses, is also going to be a shtar. That's the general consensus of understanding according to Rabbi Meir. The argument comes in the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Blazer says, Eidei Mesira Karsi. What does he think about Eidei Chasima? That's the big issue. One thing we know for sure, and this is part of the 8 point of contention, we know two things for sure. One is that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Eidei Mesira Karsi, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Eidei Chasima can serve the function of Raya. The Mishnah says in Hashaleach, and again in Hamagarish, Lamedal Rav Beis and Peivav Medalef, and it's quoted here in Gimel Rav Beis, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Eidim Mesira Karsi, still there's a Tikkun Olam, there's a benefit for the Eidim to sign inside the Shtar. Why? In case the Eidim Mesira go traveling, or they are no longer accessible, they die, they're traveling, whatever the case may be. So this way you could just whip out the piece of paper, it has the Eidim affixed to it, and you'll always be able to prove that the Gerushin took place, the woman could always get married. So Mishum Tikkun Olam, we know that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Eidei Chasima are an effective Raya. That's fact number one that we know. Fact number two is that Rabbi Eliezer agrees that when there's a problem, if there are Eidei Chasima who are signed for purposes of Tikkun Olam, that if there's some problem with their signature, either the signature is lo lishma, or it is signed by people who are psulim le'edus, then the rule is moda Rabbi Eliezer b'mezuyak mitocho d'pasol. Even though Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require a chasima, if a chasima sign, then there'll be a psul. It'll disqualify the shtar. Those are two facts that we know within Rabbi Eliezer. So the Rif found both of these facts to be compelling proof that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Eidei Chasima are also Karsi. His argument was, if only Eidei Mesira were Karsi and not Eidei Chasima, how could the Eidei Chasima be proof? Where would the Tikkun Olam be? How would they prove anything? After all, it's not enough for them to say that the shtar was handed over and the transaction took place. In order for the transaction really to have taken place, they also would have to attest to the handing over of the shtar in the presence of two physical Eidei Mesira. And if they themselves are inadequate to be koreis, to be the Eidim on the Kinyan, can they really attest to their being Eidim on the Kinyan when in fact they never saw them? So the fact that there's a Tikkun Olam, says the Rif, proves that Eidei Chasima alone would also be Karsi. That's the Rif's argument. And the Bali Tosfos disagree. They say there's a concept here called Ekshonasa. After all, even if the Eidim who are signed are only testifying that the shtar was handed over, they didn't see that either. How do we know that it was handed over? Because Mistama Hakol Ekshonasa. Everything was done properly. How do we know that the Eidim, let's say in a regular shtar, are Gedolim and not Ktanim, Ksherim and not Psulim, that they signed Beratzon and not Bones? How do we know anything? They're ink on a piece of paper. The answer is all based on Reish Lakish, who says Eidim Akasumim Al Hashtar Kenekra Eidusan Bedezdin. That same idea, says the Tosfos, can be extended one big step further. Namely, if we're talking about a transaction which requires the presence of witnesses, so then the Eidim who are signed can also attest to the fact, probably, or definitely until you prove otherwise, not only was there a Mesira, there is Mesira in the presence of witnesses. That's the idea of Tikkun Olam, of the Raya, of Shtar, according to Tosfos. That's a major debate. Similarly, we'll get back to this more fully, but the Rif doesn't say this explicitly, but the Ravid, who's advocating on behalf of the Rif, says it. The fact that Rabbi Eliezer says Modeh, the Mezuyah Mitocho, they think that proves the Rif's case. What's the idea? Again, if Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that only Eidim Mesira are Karsi and not Eidim Chasima, then if these Eidim sign when they don't need to sign, they're signing Mishum Tikkun Olam and nothing more, on what basis would you disqualify? And they signed Shalom Lishma, on what basis would you disqualify the Shtar? After all, they're totally, from a Kenyan point of view, totally gratuitous. They don't add anything, they don't accomplish anything, they're only important as a Raya. And therefore, they cannot, or their Lishma cannot be consequential. Therefore, says the Ravid, arguing on behalf of the Rif, if Rabbi Eliezer's motive, Mezuyah Mitocho, it must be for the following reason. Rabbi Eliezer is a flexible position. He believes either Eidei Mesira are Karsi or Eidei Chasima are Karsi. Either one. And since Eidei Chasima alone could be Karsi, therefore their signatures are consequential, because sometimes they have that alone, that signature, or those signatures alone will effectuate the Kenyan. And since that's true, therefore, lack of Lishma or Eidim Psulim will be unacceptable. That'll be posel. That's the argument of the Ravid for the Rif. And the Bali Tosfos disagree. Again, they say, this we'll elaborate maybe next time when we talk about Mezuyah Mitocho more fully, they will argue that Mezuyah Mitocho is a psul that is independent of the effectiveness of Eidei Chasima. Mostly because, in most cases, the Bali Tosfos, Tosfos and Daftal and Amidala, for example, suggest that this din, Modra Belozer, Mezuyah Mitocho, is not a din d'oraisa at all. It's a din d'rabanan, it's a concern, chasima atu ksiva. If we allow you to get away signing the shtar shalol lishma, we're worried that you'll forget that there's a requirement of lishma in the get, and subsequently you will make the mistake of ksiva shalol lishma. Therefore, to preclude that error, they made a gzeira that chasima shalol lishma is possible. But it doesn't mean anything more than that. So this is part of the debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. This is the major debate between them, whether or not according to Rabbi Elazar Eidei Chasima work or not. Now, the position of the Rif that Eidei Chasima, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Eidei Chasima also work, was attacked by the Bali Tosfos and the Baal Amor and Rabbeinu Ephraim on several grounds. And what we did last time, 2 weeks ago when we met, we discussed the Baal Amor and the Ramban. I tried to show a kind of point-counterpoint argument between them, each one, you know, refuting the positions of the other, but I tried to also underscore that there's a certain pattern that emerges in their understanding of the different positions. The questions that they raise against the Rif fall into different categories. One is linguistic. The Rif says, Eidei Mesira Karsi. So the Baal Amor asks, if the Rif was right, either Eidei Mesira or Eidei Chasima should have said, Af Eidei Mesira Karsi. After all, it's more expansive. Not only, but Af. The second question they ask is from various Gemaras. It seems from various Gemaras that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir argue, and Rabbi Eliezer sometimes is more machmir than Rabbi Meir. And if according to the Rif, Eidei Mesira are Karsi, but Eidei Chasima are Karsi as well, then it would seem that Rabbi Eliezer should always be more flexible, always more makil than Rabbi Meir. Because he has Rabbi Meir, Eidei Chasima Karsi, plus. If he can operate either on the basis of Rabbi Meir or, in addition, on the basis of Eidei Mesira, he should always be Mako. He should always be the more flexible part. And yet, we find several Gemaras which imply that Rabbi Eliezer is actually the Machmir, not Rabbi Meir. Where are these Gemaras? So, the two prominent ones that they cite are as follows. One is the Gemara on Pei Bav Omid Beis, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you have two absolutely identical gittin, same name of the husband, same name of the wife, let's say, assume for a moment, either the same sofa, or else you just don't know, or you can't recognize which sofa, which wrote which get, the two gittin become mixed up somehow. So the Mishnah says, what you do is you hand over each get to each wife. In other words, each husband takes the two gittin and gives it to his wife. And then the other fellow takes the same two gittin, gives it to his wife. The idea is that Mimanashach, once you finish the process, each person has delivered his own get. That's the idea. So the Gemara says, that's fine for Rabbi Meir, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, isn't there going to be a problem? Why? The Gemara assumes that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Mesira, which is so more crucial for Rabbi Eliezer than it is for Rabbi Meir, requires Lishma. And therefore, handing over a get, two gittin, one after the other, to two parties, is, by definition, a lack of Lishma. Because in each case, you're basically hedging your bets. When you hedge your bets, you exclude Lishma. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this shouldn't work, because you need Mesira Lishma. So Tosis asks the question here on Dal Rav Aleph, Dal Edi Mesira Me'achi. Forget about the Mesira. After all, according to the Rif, Edi Chasima are also Karsi. If it works for a mayor, it should work for Rabbi Eliezer. Well, I think Rabbi Eliezer gives you a further option. Forget about the Edi Chasima, work with Edi Mesira. But that further option should never be a Chumra, it should always be a Kula. That's question number one. Question number two is from the Gemara in Masechet Ksuvos. Ksuvos Tzadik Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara has the argument. Shnei Shtaros Hayotzim B'yom Echad. You have two Shtaros. They're written and given on the same day. Reuven has two best friends, right? He wants to show each one how special, you know, their relationship is. So he sells his single piece of real estate, or he gives it to them, I should say, as a gift, to each one of them, fully, without telling the other. So each one comes to court with a shtar, with a contract that says, as of Tuesday, you are the proud owner of this prized piece of real estate. Problem is, there are two of them, right? So what happens then? So the Gemara says, this is Machlokus in Rav and Shmuel, whether we say Yachloku or Shudin Daitin. Yachloku means we split the property because both of them come to court. Each one has an equal claim. So since they have an equal claim, you split the property. Shudin Daitin means we leave it up to the judge to determine who is the rightful owner of this property. Now how he does that is a topic that is independent of us at the moment. But he is going to use his judicial skills or instinct, as the case may be, to determine who was the real intended recipient of this real estate. So the Gemara says, this argument, now of course the argument itself is quite fascinating, but quite understandable, both positions. Namely, you have a kind of conflict between people. How do you resolve conflicts? In the history of, you know, or in the models of conflict resolution, Yachloku is an option, dividing between two people with equal claims, or, right, initiating some sort of assessment as to who the prime recipient should really be. That's another possible solution. So both positions make sense. What's intriguing is that the Gemara in Ksuba says that this argument depends on Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. After all, the contract here is effectuated by a shtar, Kinyan Shtar, and this is the Beit Yitzchak of Lazar Rabbi Meir, which determines the outcome in this case. Well, what does that mean? If you hold like Rabbi Meir, Edei Chasima Karsi, so then you say Yachloku, you split the property. If you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, Edei Mesira Karsi, so then what you say is Shuda the Daini. That's the Gemara.
Is the Mesira Karsi in a non-Gittin type of a situation?
Say that again?
Yeah, sure.
So, right, that's a very good question. But even the Gemara here on Dalet Amud Aleph, as you'll recall, says, if you look at the 3, 6, 9, 12, about 12 or so lines down, you see the asterisk at the beginning of the line, the Kaimelon Ilkhasa Kavase, Amrabalazar, Mayor, Sunday Sinkra Mayor, But Rabbi Elazar, the Kaimel Hilchos Kamasei Begitin, which the, and then the Gemara elaborates this on Pei Vav Mem Aleph, which is that some Rishonim, you know, passed in this way, and some did not. But in the Amoraim already, there's the suggestion that we might distinguish between different areas of halakha between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. But the suggestion is based on the premise that Rabbi Eliezer himself said his halakha not only in Gittin, but in Shai Shtaris as well. We may determine, we paskin like him here, we don't paskin like him there. But he himself wasn't limited to Gittin, but applied it to Shai Shtaris. So obviously this Gemara in Ksuvas also is talking about a real estate transaction. They're assuming that Rabbi Eliezer applies to that as well. Now, so the question Bali Tosis asked was, they didn't ask this here, Ben Ephraim and Palomar asked it, but it's the same kind of question. Again, according to the Rif, that either Edi Chasima or Edi Mesira are Karsi, why not just say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, as well, Yachloku? Right? Because you have Edi Chasima. So whatever's good for Rabbi Meir is good for Rabbi Eliezer. This is the question. Okay. The question is how to answer all these questions.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in just a second. Yeah. And the basic idea, I'll just tell you very quickly, is, yeah, well, let's take the reason interpretation for the moment. Okay? So the reason interpretation is as follows. You have two shtaros, right? Each one says, as of Tuesday, you are the new owner of the property. So according to Rabbi Meir, this is Edi Chasima Karsi, the Re says, there's a requirement of Bukach Mitocho. Bukach Mitocho means that the contract is only effective if it's unambiguous, if it's unequivocal. Any time you have to support, right, the information in the shtar, in the contract, by some external source, additional source, right, the shtar is ineffective. What does this mean? The contract says, as of Tuesday, you are the new owner. To two people. It doesn't say 2 o'clock. It doesn't say 10 a.m. It says Tuesday. When did that kinyan begin? So if it's applied the principle of Bukach Mitocho, right, it can only begin the last moment of the day. Because it's Tuesday. It could be any time Tuesday. It's not Bukach Mitocho whether it's Tuesday morning, afternoon, or evening. The only thing that's mukach mitocho is that by the last minute of Tuesday, this kinyan is chal. So the way that re-explains the position of Yechloku is, two people come to court, each shtar implicitly is only activated when? The last minute of Tuesday. They both begin at the same time. Whatever he intended, when he gave them, right? And in fact, if he gave one at 10 in the morning and the other at 6 p.m. in the evening, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. His intention is irrelevant. Our ability, by means of Edim or any other Raya, to establish when he handed over the contract, none of that's going to help. Because in the end of the day, the only thing that's self-sufficient, unambiguous, is the last moment of Tuesday. And therefore we say Yachlok. That's what we mean. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand...
So Yachlok is not really a shara.
No, exactly. According to the Reed's understanding of Rabbi Meir, Yachloku is not a pshara. It is, in fact, when the actual kinyan begins simultaneously for two parties. Two parties have a simultaneous kinyan on the same sadeh, then it's a vada Yachloku. Yeah. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what happened here? Shtar number one, as far as we know, was given at one point in the day, and star number, likely. Star number one was given at one point in the day, and star number two was given at the other point. Now, there is no din of Bukach Mitocho. There's no din of Bukach Mitocho, so then we have to figure out which star came first. One was given at 3 o'clock, one was given at 5 o'clock, but we don't know. So we're not going to say Yachloku. Instead, we're going to leave it to the judge to try to figure out, right, who is the proper or the likely first recipient, and therefore real recipient, of the fee. Okay. So, in theory, I guess, I mean, Shurid Adayin itself means that we throw it to the judge. Okay? Meaning, he is supposed to determine the outcome. Some sources make it seem he's supposed to decide the outcome. Others, more likely, he's supposed to figure out the outcome. Now, in theory, one option could be, you know, if he somehow, you know, had reason to conclude that both were given at the same moment, and then maybe there could be Yachloku. But that would be quite a coincidence. So, shooter of the die usually is going to, in this case, produce a single victor. In theory, what you're saying is correct. Ramban speaks about it in Sefer HaSukkos. So we have a whole slew of questions against him. So last time we discussed the Ramban's approach to some of these questions. Basically, the Ramban took the view that the linguistic question, af eidim asira karsi, no problem. Right? If it had said af, we would have thought you need eidim hasima and eidim asira. It's not true. Better to leave out the af, don't get involved in any kind of misconception. As far as the other issues are concerned, number one, other explanation of the af, the Rif himself says, l'chadchila, it's better to go the route of Eidei Mesira than it is to go the route of Eidei Chasima. So, that's another reason not to say af. The Rosh was bothered by the question, what do you mean l'chadchila? What's the l'chadchila and b'di'eved in legal contracts? Either the contract is good or the contract is no good. You know, why the nicety of l'chadchila b'di'eved? We associate that with the performance of mitzvos, not with the effectiveness of legal documents or legal institutions. Either way, that's the view of the Ramban. As far as the second question is concerned, namely, Rav Meir is always the Machmir, Rav Elazar should always be the Mekel, since Rav Elazar allows for a Meir plus. So the Ramban says something very, very important. Ramban says sometimes the existence of the other option creates its own reality and ends up being a Chumra. For example, the fact that Eidei Mesira are also Karsi may establish that there's a requirement of Mesira Lishma. Now that requirement of Mesira Lishma doesn't go away because you happen to choose to operate with Eidei Chasima. After all, the Pasuk, which says, the Kasav La Sefer Krisis V'Nasam Biyada, the words V'Kasav, meaning Siva, and Masar, meaning Mesira, have stronger meaning for Rabbi Eliezer than they do for Rabbi Meir. Now that stronger meaning doesn't just puff, evaporate, because you happen to choose, in this particular case, to go the derech of Eidei Chasima. It's really a very obvious answer when you think about it, but it takes like somebody like the Ramban to formulate it, meaning it's true that Rabbi Elazar is more flexible than Rabbi Meir, in that he has two methods, and Rabbi Meir has only one. But the fact that he has two methods, willy-nilly, means that he reads the psukim differently. It gives weight to certain factors that Rabbi Meir doesn't, and those may end up being a kula, and sometimes they may end up being a chumra. So that it's not true to translate even af eidei mesira karsi into constant kula. You can't always say, as Bali Tosis did, dal eidei mesira mahaki. Forget about the eidei mesira. He's no worse than Rabbi Meir. Sure, he's worse sometimes, because the fact that he gives credence and weight to Mesira and Eidei Mesira will sometimes carry its own consequences. That's the Ramban's answer.
Going to the read, you don't even need Eidei Mesira if you have Eidei Chasima. So how could you have a...
That's what we're talking. That's the question.
So how can you have an insistence to consider the Eidei Mesira option?
I don't understand. The Rif says that the word v'kasa, the nasan, in the pasuk, mean Eidei Mesira and Mesira Sashtar. That's what the psukim mean. However, Eidei Chasima also works.
You don't need Eidei Mesira altogether if you have Eidei Chasima.
And you don't need Eidei Chasima if you have Eidei Mesira. But which is the one that the pasuk is talking about? Eidei Mesira. The words of the pasuk, v'kasa v'la, sefer krisas.
Why does the Rif suggest that
So the answer is he also thinks Eidei Chasima work, but he does think that l'chadchila it's better to go with Eidei Mesira, and he'll think that the psukim that say v'kasa v'nasan are referring to classically Ksiva and Mesira. So what the Ramban is saying is If you're talking about the question whether there's a concept of Mesira Lishma, right? Where does that come from according to? In the Havamina, you know, we reject the Maskana, but where does it come from? Because the role of the Mesira in the Pasuk, for Rabbi Eliezer, is far more, you know, pronounced than it is for Rabbi Meir. So all of a sudden the Pasuk takes on a new meaning because you happen to choose another approach to giving it again. The Pasuk is the Pasuk.
We can't accept that altogether.
Why?
Because he says that you don't even need any Mesira.
Right, but you don't need any Chasima either. No, you can need one or the other.
Right.
But the word Masar in the Pasuk of Get, right? The Kasav Lo Sefer Krisus V'Nasan Biado, the word V'Nasan does mean Mesira V'Fnei Edim, which at that point in the Gemara they think means Mesira L'Shma. So the words Mesira L'Shma,
if you require Mesira based on the
Pasuk,
right? So what does he need
Edi Chasima
for?
You don't. Only Mishum Tikkun Olam as a Raya.
The reason that you don't need Edi Mesira, Edi
Chasima is
good.
No, the Rif says, again, you're starting off backwards. Rabbi Lazar says Edi Mesira Karsi.
Right.
And the Rif says, if you go Edi Chasima, that'll work too.
Without any Edi Mesira.
Just as the Edi Mesira without any Edi Chasima will work. But the L'chatchila and the real meaning of the Pasuk, when the Torah describes Gerushin, it describes Eidei Mesira B'li Eidei Chasima.
Right.
Therefore, when the Gemara says, you need Mesira Lishma, that's based on the Pasuk. Mesira Lishma, the words of the Pesukim don't change just because the Rif is more liberal and allows also Eidei Chasima. But you still need a Mesira Lishma. You still need the Ksiva Lishma. Are you going to say the Ksiva Lishma is not required just because you're using Eidei Chasima according to Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Meir doesn't require Ksiva Lishma, he only requires Chasima Lishma. For him, the word V'Kasav, and the Pasuk means V'Kasav. But for Rabbi Eliezer, the word V'Kasav means V'Kasav. Now, if you choose to go the route of Eide Chasima, so you don't need V'Kasav, now, by the way, I mean, there are different shitas about that. What we'd say about that, it's not so simple. We'll discuss that when we talk about Modo V'Lazar B'Zuyuk Mitoko a little bit more thoroughly. But the simple reading, the simple idea, you know, if we didn't start anything, you know, more, you know, complex, which some of the Rishonim provide, is the Pasuk means what it means, no matter if you have an extra option. Whenever the Pasuk requires Lishma, the Pasuk requires Lishma. Similarly, what about Shnei Yishtar Seyotzim B'Yomachon? So there, your question is very good, and it gets a little complicated. So the way the Ramban explains it is as follows. He says, listen, if all there is Zayde Chasima, right? And it's based on Mukum Mitoko, then you give two people on Tuesday a piece of real estate. There's no suffix, there's nothing to figure out. Halpidin, like we just explained, both get half the property the last second day. Each one gets the whole property, actually, the last second of the day. But the two people can't have a whole property. Their rights clash and come in at the same time. So what's the consequence? Each one ends up with half. End of story. But if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, and there's an additional possibility. That's that. Edi Mesira. Now, according to the Rif, we're not denying Edi Chasima. But just the fact that there's now an additional option changes everything. Because what will happen, what was the question? Dal Edi Mesira Mehachi. Forget about them. Let him be the Mekel that he is. Right? Not so simple. What happens if the Shtar was given at two, which is likely, was given at two different times? In the presence of Edi Mesira. One at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, one at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, the Edi Chasima route only allows the Kenyan to begin when? The last second of the day. Let's call it, I mean, it's not a Jewish day, but let's say 8:59. Right? It was translated into a non-Jewish calendar day. Right? At 11:59, right? Both of these Shtar Edi Chasima kick in. Each one owns the whole field, which translates into each one having half the field. Before that, no one owns anything. Because no Mukum Mitoko. But if you hold Edi Mesira, Edi Mesira Karsi, and he gave it to the guy at 3 o'clock and the next guy 5 o'clock, at 3 o'clock you had a simple solution to the problem. A single owner. What do you mean, Dal Edi Mesira Mehoch? That's what Ramban says. He says, it's true, the Rameir is not as flexible as Rabbi Eliezer. But sometimes Rabbi Eliezer's flexibility, right, precludes saying Edi Chasima Karsi. That's Rambam. The Ran, which I want to get to today, has a whole different answer to this question and a very big yisod. This is like a very, very, very famous Ran. Very, very, very. It's like the most famous Ran in all of Gittin. What? Okay. So the short answer of the Ran is as follows. The Ran says that the Edech HaSima, we'll see inside, turn to Mem Chesem Aleph in the Daf Arif, we'll see part of it inside. The idea of the Ran is that the Edech HaSima of Rabbi Eliezer and the Edech HaSima of Rabbi Meir are totally different. Mem Chesem Aleph in the Daf Arif. Page 95. Well, you said Mem Chesem Amud Aleph in the Daf Arif. The Daf Arif and they never change, except in the new Gemaras that they have these. Yeah, the Oz V'Hadars. Do you have an Oz V'Hadar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but they tell you they're good about that.
Small letters.
Right, they tell you the old one, so you can always find it. Yeah.
Sorry.
Then the Chesam Dala. What? Hamagarish. The ninth parish. That's right, I remember you had a different... Okay, the short story is as follows. This is the Ran's idea. The Ran says, listen, the Rif said that according to Rabbi Elazar, Ede Chasima are effective as well, correct? So one would have thought, and all the Rishonim aside from the Ran, and the Ra actually, Tzuvas, but thought, what that means is that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees to Rabbi Meir's idea, Edech HaSima Karsi. So he has his own idea, another alternative, Edech HaSima Karsi. Right? The Ran says, no, that's not really what happened here at all. He says, let's start at question number one, the linguistic question, the seemingly most innocuous question of all. Should have said, Af Edech HaSima Karsi. Because according to him, Edech HaSima or Edech HaSima, either one, is Kores. So the Ran says, already that's where the fallacy lies. In fact, Rabbi Elazar believes conceptually only Edech HaSima Karsi. However, the flexibility of the Rif is not in offering an alternative to Edech HaSima. It's an expanding how we define Edei Mesira. Only Edei Mesira work. That's why the word Af does not appear. However, there are two mechanisms, two methods of establishing Edei Mesira. One is by having physical, living, breathing Edim present. There's the Edei Mesira. The second way is the Edei Chasima, according to Rabbi Eliezer, can also serve the function of Edei Mesira. That's the Chiddush of the Ram. If that's the case, we'll explain what he means by it in just a second. But if that's the case, so Af Edech HaSima Karsi is not a good question anymore. Because even the Edech HaSima function is Edech HaSima. That's number one. Number two, I'll read it in science in a minute. Number two, we said, how come the Rif says it's a Lechatchila? Lechatchila v'dieved, what is this? Mitzvos. Zakeli v'andeyu. Right? Hidur. This is a legal institution. It works or it doesn't work. Yes or no? It's not yes or no. It's yes or no, not better or worse. That's the Rosh's question. He doesn't answer it. So the Ran says, absolutely it has to be Lechatchila and B'dieved. And not because we're worried that the mice are going to eat the shtar and it won't be there for you, whereas if you have Edim Asira, you can always get the Edim to come. It's not that. The only reason Edech HaSima will work for Rabbi Eliezer is because they too are Edech HaSima. Ah, if they too are Edech HaSima though, wouldn't you rather have real Edech HaSima than this Chiddush, this extension of Edech HaSima? You'd rather have the real McCoy than the simulation. Exactly. So, it's not Af, and it is L'chatchila Edech HaSima. What about the third category of questions? This is where the Rif is, best served by the Ran. Okay, what were the questions? The answer should always be Meikel, because he believes in Edech HaSima and he believes in Edech HaSima. So the Ran says, well, not so fast. Because qualitatively, the Ede Chasima of Rabbi Meir and the Ede Chasima of Rabbi Eliezer are Kirchok Mizrach Mimarov. They're totally different. They accomplish a totally different function. They work in a different way. They may both look like Ede Chasima. They're both signatures, and there's no physical presence. But in the case of Rabbi Meir, the Ede Chasima are operating because of their Raya, because of the fact that you can pull them out of the pocket and prove that this event took place not because they're actually considered Edom on the Mesira, they're actually Edom on the Ashuya Shtara. They're Edom on the Chetzesh Shtara, they're Raya. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ede Chasima don't work as Ede Chasima. Ede Chasima somehow are a second level or a second rate Ede Mesira. If that's the case, even though they may look alike, they operate totally differently. And therefore you can never say Dal Ede Mesira Mehachi or Dal Mesira Mehachi, right? V'lichra Sal Yedei Ede Chasima. So let's take it very clearly in terms of the two examples. One is this Arvu Shnei Gittin. Two Gittin get mixed up, and the question is, can you give them twice to each person? Right? That will be a problem of the Sira Lishma or not? So what's the question? The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this shouldn't work. You need this, according to Havami, you need the Sira Lishma. And what's the question? Forget about the Ede Mesira. If the Ede Chasima here operate with Rabbi Meir. If it's good for a Meir, it's good for a Belazar. So the Ran says, no, not really. Because even though it works for Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't work as Ede Chasima. It works as Ede Mesira. So even when you use the Ede Chasima, you need Mesira Lishma. Because you can't just plug in Rabbi Meir. Basically, instead of plugging in Rabbi Meir, you're going back, you're plugging in Rabbi Eliezer, and the Ede Chasima are just being plugged in for the Ede Mesira. So then if there's a requirement of Mesira Lishma, as the Pasuk says, the Kasav La Bin Asan, right? That's alive and well. It's even better in Shnei Shtaros, Hayotzim B'Yom Echad.
Since the Ede Chasima are testifying to Chasima Lishma, why can't you transfer that over?
Say that one more time.
Since the Ede Chasima are testifying on Chasima Lishma.
On Chasima Lishma? What do you mean by that?
They're testifying that Chasima Lishma and everything is called Hashanasa.
As a Raya, maybe, not in their function as Kenyan. They are testifying that there was a proper Mesira. That's all. But according to the Ran we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
No, the whole point of the Ran is that Rabbi Eliezer's Ede Chasima are serving Ede Mesira functions rather than Ede Chasima functions. Maybe through Raya, but maybe through that aspect of Raya. But the Raya is important to establish the proper conditions of Kinyan, essentially. Now, how does this explain Shnei Shtaros Yavtzim Amechad? The best that you can imagine. Because, let's go back to the issue of Yachloku. Right, how do we explain Yachloku according to Rabbi Meir? Shnei Shtaros Yavtzim Amechad Yachloku. Why? Because Mucho Mitocho. That's Mucho Mitocho is what determines that even though the Shtaros were handed over at different parts of the day, one at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the other at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, neither the 3 nor the 5 begins until 11:59 and 59 seconds. And then they begin forcefully at the same time, simultaneously. Is that true for Rabbi Eliezer's Ede Chasima? No. Because the whole idea of Mucho Mitocho is contingent upon Rabbi Meir's Raya idea of a shtar. I mean, it's based on the idea of self-sufficiency, right? An unambiguous, right, story. That's because the whole focus, Ede Chasima or Ede Chasima. So then you have Mucho Mitocho, then you have this clash of Yach, which ends up in Yachloku, everything is fine and good. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ede Chasima work as Ede Mesira. If they work as Ede Mesira, there's no Dina Mucho Mitocho. If there's no Dina Mucho Mitocho, then even on the basis of the Ede Chasima, whenever the shtar was given over, the Ede Chasima begin to effectively establish the contract. So somebody got this contract at 3, somebody got this contract at 5, there's a definite winner here, there's no Yachloku, What's the psak? Shoot in the dining. That's the position of the rabbi. Let me just read in for you a little bit. Now that we've seen it, you'll appreciate it. Yeah.
I don't quite understand the mechanism of which the edichasima function as edichasima.
That's a good question. We haven't discussed that yet. Well, I mean, we've discussed it a little bit, but that's the tricky part.
Is it an explicit thing? Because
yeah.
The fact that they were hosting, and now it's in the possession of the person who's in possession.
So
that implicitly implies that it was done.
It's edus on the chasima by virtue of the raya. That's the tricky part.
Yeah.
But we care about what the chasima says about the raya rather than the fact that there is a raya. It's a subtle difference,
yeah.
But it's a really important difference. It's either that or something else, which we'll see in just a second. The language of the Ran can be read in two ways. It could just be the other part is that there's a Mesira, in which there is a connection to Eden, namely the Eden Hora Chasumi. That's the other possibility. So let's just see, you'll see there are two Lashonos in the Ran. That's one of the things I wanted to point out, but you're absolutely right to bring that up. Okay. Look here, this is very... Avamash nearly bazet. This is the last of the small lines on Mem Chesam Aleph in the Ran. Everybody have it?
Yep.
Avamash nearly bazet. This is the Ran's crescendo. Right? This is what that one said, and this is what the other fellow said, and now I'm going to tell you what I really think about all this. Avamash nearly bazet. Rabbi Eliezer Spirule, the Eidim Asira Biluchud Karsi. The only thing that works is Eidim Asira, conceptually. Right? The Eidim Hasima lo karsi. Eidim Hasima don't work. That sounds like Balitosis. Right? But he's explaining the riff. So now he's going to explain. What I mean is not actually, but conceptually. Behind the Dharmina Bekol Duchta, that's what we mean every time when we say Drabaloza Sphirale, the Eidim Asira karsi, v'lo amrina af Eidim Asira karsi. It doesn't say even because conceptually only Edi Masira work, not Edi Chasima. Miu. My demod Rabbi Loza, Edi Chasima Mahani. Aren't we saying that Rabbi Eliezer also agrees that Edi Chasima work? Isn't that the whole point of the riff? It's not that the riff is capitulating to the Balitosis, right? We're trying to explain the riff here.
Huh?
Hainu Mishum the Sphirale, Sheha Masira Koreses. See the language? Kol Sheyesh B'Shaita. Eidim. Very tricky formulation. The Mesira is the Dabra Koreses. That's Rabbi Elazar's Shita, always. As long as it's connected to Kol Sheyesh B'Shaita, Eidim. Bein Shem Me'idim Ala Mesira Atzma, O Al Gufa Dabar. Whether they testify or attest to the actual Mesira because they're there, or the Gufa Dabar. What's the Gufa Dabar? The Gerushin. Okay. By means of the star. And both are correct. Umeata, therefore, Mashemod Rav Loza to get a chosum the Edim Kores, even though it's true that according to Rav Loza, Edim, in which there are, I'm sorry, star, in which there are signed Edim works, Apabishal Nosan the Edim Asira, but even though there are no Edim present at the moment of the Asira, according to all the good proofs that the riff brought and others piled on even more proofs for the riff's position, not because Eide Chasima is really Karsi, Ella, one more time the formulation, Share aget yotze mitachas yoda be'edim halalu ubiyadua shabal misarala. This is the answer to your question, the way he's saying it now, which is the fact that there is a star in the hands of the Isha, we know implicitly, we reconstruct the Baal gave it. And if the Baal gave it, that means it was a Mesira. But we wouldn't know that if the Edom weren't signed there. Right, if the Edom weren't signed, it could just be a piece of paper that she made up.
Well, the Baal can challenge.
You understand? But that gets to a Gemara that we saw earlier in the year, which is Kiyum Shtaros is only Drabanan, according to some Rishonim. But if he really does challenge, maybe it's Daraisa. He would have to authenticate the signatures, etc. But if you authenticate the signatures of the witnesses, right? Unless he can actually bring proof that this was a forgery, then we accept the testimony of the shtar as saying this was handed over properly and a gerushin took place. So what the Ran is saying is that the Reish Lakish, the raya of a shtar, Eidei Chasima, creates edus in a reconstructive way, in retrospect, on the Mesira. It isn't just the fact that you've given a raya, but according to Rabbi Meir, the fact that I have been matfis raya biyad isha, the fact that I gave her proof that she can use to reconstruct the case, giving the proof is the davar hakona. For the Ran, for Rabbi Eliezer, it's not giving the proof that's the davar hakona. It's the fact that there is proof on the Mesira, not giving her the proof. But the proof on the Mesira is koreses the Mesira. And the Mesira is the davar hakona.
It really seems that there are two, it's a combination of two things which are koreses, the Aden and the fact that she has it in her possession.
Correct. Well, right. If there weren't Aden, then her possession would be meaningless.
Right.
If there were Aden and she had no possession, then we could never read anything into the shtar in the name of the Aden. Those are always indispensable components. But they work differently for Rabbi Meir than they do for Rabbi Lanza. For Rabbi Meir, the Dover HaKoneh is still the fact that she has been provided with this evidence. And for Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Ran, the fact that there's a Nasira which is attested to is the Dover HaKoneh. Yeah.
We had the aging Nasira and Eidei Chasima, but the shtar was not in her hands.
If we had, well, assuming if you have Eidei Mesira,
I had Eidei Mesira, both.
Eidei Mesira that the shtar was given to her.
That's correct, but the shtar is not in her hands.
No, they would work through Eidei Mesira.
It would work, but she couldn't collect Ksuba?
She could collect the Ksuba if the Eidei Mesira established that there was a Gerushin. The only thing that wouldn't work is the Eidei Chasima wouldn't work. But you don't need Eidei Chasima for. All you need is to establish for her to collect Ksuba. Ksuba is a separate document. For her to accept the ksuba, all you need is that there should be a gerushin. So if you have a shtar b'Eidei Mesira, that's fine. If it also has Eidei Chasima, or only had Eidei Chasima according to Nirta, that would be fine. If it wasn't Yotze, Mitachas, Yad, Ha'isha, then, but you had Eidei Mesira say that there was a Mesira to the Isha prior to this, that would be fine. The Eidei Chasima alone wouldn't say that unless she was holding on to it. Okay.
The Mesira was not witnessed.
A Mesira that wasn't witnessed?
It was not witnessed. Yeah.
By the Eidei Chasima.
Eidei Chasima.
What the Ran is being Mechadesh.
If there was a Mesira, that was not witnessed.
That's considered a witnessed Mesira. That's exactly the Chiddush. That exactly is the Chiddush of the Ran's reading of the Rif. Because the Din of Reish Lakish, Eidei Chasima al-Shtar Nasa k'mishnakra just in the Bezdin, it's considered this is a Mesira, Shigeshal of Eidim, by virtue of the Din of Shtar and Raya, and therefore it's Koresis. That's exactly the point where the Ran is Mechadesh according to Rav Elazar. Even though they're not physically there, the Chasima serves the function that the Mesira
took place
with the Eidim, with the testimony of Eidim. Yeah. Well, there's a difference between Rabbi Meir's Eidei Chasima and Rabbi Eliezer's Eidei Chasima. There theoretically could be some differences between real Eidei Mesira and the Eidei Chasima who are Eidei Mesira too, but that might just be in how effective they are. For example, like we said before, let's say the shtar is not held by the Isha. The Eidei Chasima can't do anything, but the Eidei Mesira, if they would come to court, would still be fine and good.
According to the Meir, suppose that kind of gets
right. Reuven
is the Darshan Leah, and they're perfectly proper Eidei Chasima.
Well, how would you know that he ever gave it? As long as you find it in the street, and it's not Yotze, any shtar Eidei Chasima, which is not in the possession, unless you knew once, if you had witnesses who would come and testify at one point it was in her possession, that's fine. But if you don't have anybody to do that, for all you know, it fell out of the pocket of the Baal, and it's worthless.
You don't have any So if it isn't in her possession, or she doesn't have witnesses that it wasn't in her possession,
it's worthless. That's the Gemara. Those are Gemaras in the second half of the first parak of Bava Metzia. Itrele Shtara. Nafal Itrele Shtara. Again, there are other ways to explain why that could be so, but the understand this understanding of Shtaros is, in my opinion, the best way to understand why that's so. Okay. Now, if you go on in the Ran, you'll see Benimtsu Keilu Ein Atzman Meidin Ala Mesira. Right? Their fact that there are Eidei Chasima, which attests by virtue of Raya to the Mesira, right, is Keilu. We know it happened. Benimtsu Keilu Ein Atzman Meidin Ala Mesira. It's as if they themselves are attesting to it. So they're Eidei Mesira in their own way, even though they didn't see a thing. Right? What is this idea that we say that, you know, the halachas are kabbalahs are gittin, but in shtaros, in other shtaros, you need eidei chasima. We're not saying that in shar shtaros, eidei chasima as eidei chasima work. No, that's not true. Galohi. The bein b'shtaros, bein b'gittin, ain't karsin below mesira. Always, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you need Nesira to be the Dabra Kores or Koreses. Daha Kinami Kaminon Dhu Daha Dabra Blazar Da'af Bishtaros Lo Binan Shuchosum Valashtar Lesa Mishum the Bishtaros Binan Shtar Kniya Chosum Beidin Kedei Sheheroi Lamad Yavin Rabin Bakiyavin Kagavna Ha Nesira Heya Koreses. When we say that in other areas of Halacha, right, Hede Chasim are better than Hede Nesira, we don't mean Rabbi Meir Zayde Chasima. We mean Rabbi Eliezer Zayde Chasima. Where the Mesira is Koresas. Why is it better? Because here, it's Koresas as Zayde Mesira. But it's also Leman Yam Yamim Rabim. You also have a long-term piece of paper that's going to serve as evidence. So you have the best of both worlds. You have Zayde Mesira Karsi with Araya. What could be better? Bishum she'ed maksum al ashtar habu ke'ede mesira. Umeyata, he says, now kol asugyos mischabros, all the sugyos fall into place. Ve'afdilu l'misha pasak she'en alocha k'rabiloza b'shtaros. Even if you say we don't paskin like k'rabiloza b'shtaros, you don't really mean it. All we mean is ede chasim or ede mesira. For example, he says, take the Gemara and Ksuvas with the two shtaros on the same day. Lo kasha midi poses no problem. Why? The shapir of Dinan Shudel Rabbi Eliezer. This psak that according to Rabbi Elazar, right, Shuda the Daini, is fine. Apapi shu mode beede kasima. Why? Why not say Akloku? He agrees that the Chasima work. That's the problem, right? Why? Kivin Shein Korsen Mitzad Chasimasan. Because even when there are the Chasima, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they don't operate through Chasima. Shalom Kosuba shows, right? Ela Mesira Yishakona. Even if there are any Chasima, what is it? What's the effective mechanism? The Mesira itself. Vafilo Moser Belo Edim. Osa Shemasalo Betchila. Kana Mishum Tehina Maksum Al Ashtar Mahanu Ke'edi Mesira. Even if you hand over the Shtar and there are no Edi, physical Edi Mesira, there are only Edi Chasima, if the Edi Chasima are establishing that there's Rai on the Kri on the Mesira, and therefore it's Koreses, so if one takes place before the other, Zomu Hakmitoka, then one is the real single owner of the field. This kind of Mesira, right, where the Eidei Chasima are the Eidei Mesira, is Kona L'shos. It's not Kona at the end of the day. It's Kona at 3 o'clock. K'shem she Kona L'shos be'edim al-peh. Just as if there were actually living, breathing Eidim standing there at 3 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. She'edim ha'chasumim al-ashtar, lo mitam chasimasa me'maknim. Again, every word is beautiful, Ron. It's not the Chasima which does it. Aval Rabbi Meir, Sphere related to mitam chasimasa me'maknim. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir, when he says Eidei Chasima Karsi, he means Eidei Chasima, not the Eidim achos mimar Eidei Mesira. Sharei, ilu ro on the Mesira below chasim al-ashtar, let's say there were witnesses on the Mesira, and they didn't sign. According to Rabbi Meir, Einan Maknin. They wouldn't accomplish anything. The Kivan Shev Chasimasan Maknin. Obviously, they don't serve the function of Raya according to our mayor, because otherwise, Eidim Asira should work. If Eidim Asira don't work, what does that prove? That Eidim Chasima are not Eidim Asira, they are only Eidim Chasima. But if that's the case, that their Chasima is what's Kona, right? B'she'ein ba shows al kochenu yad shneim shavaba. If you don't list 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the Shtar, you just say Tuesday, then everybody comes to this field from a position of equal strength. I feel only with the ilchasa, the boy to the matzi shtar liyade. Even though the shtar has to reach the guy's hand at some point, you can't just say, "Oh, it's written for Tuesday." It didn't leave the possession of the owner, but he wrote Tuesday. Now it's Wednesday. The field is gone. No, you have to hand it over. But though you have to hand it over, the handing over isn't the davar kores. The unambiguous evidence in the shtar, right? The self-sufficient shtar, the mukhamitoko is the kobeya. Ukamosha kasati lamala. Uminatamazesha kasati osi shapir maidikai blun. The base shtar si yotsam yamecha davdina bashuda the dini. Afil nisot tilo krabelazar bishtaros. Bishum the chiam inan. Avalo bishtaros hainul inyan. The biinan. Kinyan. Kniya rather. Ru'uyalam and yamar rabin. When we say, oh, we don't paskin like krabelazar bishar shtaros. Right? We need Eidei Chasima. So you would think, oh, that's true. Certainly you have to say Yachloku in Shtei Shtaros HaYotzim B'Yomech. That's what you asked me before, right? You said, do we really pass like a Belazer outside of Gittin? That's what he's saying. He said, no, we don't. But now for the Ran, that has a totally different meaning. It's brilliant. Meaning, it's true we don't pass like a Belazer that Dafkein in the Sirikar say outside of Gittin. But not because we pass like a mayor who says Eidei Chasima Karsi, but because we want Rabbi Eliezer's Mesira HaKoreses, together with Laman Yamdu Yamim Rabim, but it's still conceptually Rabbi Eliezer's perspective. Oh, if that's what it is, then what's the consequence? You'll say Yachlo. You're not going to say Yachlo. You'll say Shudah Dinaima. Mishum Hachi Dinan Shiach Malashtar, because of the Yamim Rabim, you have to sign Ukshem Chosmim. Mitam Eidei Mesira Hei Maknin, Velo Mitam Eidei Chasima. Ki Eichet Esvila Rav Elazar Gufei. We haven't veered very far from the concept of Rav Elazar, only from the practical option. And so on. And he goes on to explain the rest of it.
He's making
a
great giant.
Yeah.
Mara says, you don't ask him like
Rav. You could have said the Ran, and I think your point is very well taken, you could have said this whole shot in the Ran, but when the Gemara says, we don't pass him like Rav Elazar, in other areas of halacha, you might have said, oh, we pass him like Rabbi Meir in the other areas of halacha. The Ran's going further. The Ran's saying, not only are we saying that Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Eliezer are Eidei Mesira and not Eidei Chasima, even when we say we don't pass him like Rabbi Elazar in other areas, what we really mean to say is not that we pass him like Rabbi Meir, but that we pass him like the Eidei Chasima of Rabbi Eliezer. And they're huge nafkamina. That's the Ran.
According to Rabbi Elazar,
say one more time. Well, this is this will work very nicely if you say that Modra Blazer B'Zuyach Mitoko is a Dindaraisa, right? Which it sounds like in the Gemara, just that the Palitosis don't interpret that way. So then the question was, if you hold like the Rif, it's very good. Yeah, that's what it is.
On the Chasima,
that's what Modra Blazer Mizuyach Mitoko means.
No, Mizuyach Mitoko means clothing,
suing. No, not in our Gemara. On Dalet Amud Aleph, it means Lishma. The whole problem was this. The Gemara said, who's the author of our Mishnah? B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta. According to Rabba, it refers to Lishma. Who needs Chasima and Ksiva Lishma? Not Rabbi Eliezer, he only needs Ksiva. Not Rabbi Meir, he only requires Chasima. So on Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, no, it is Rabbi Eliezer. Mod Rabbi Elazar B'Mizuyach Mitoko. Meaning, in the other Gemaras, you're 100% enough. You don't, but Aleph, and in Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara in Bava Basra, we speak of Mizuyach Mitoko, we're talking about Eidim Psulim. Dalet Amud Aleph, we're not talking about Psulim. We're talking about Chasima Lishma, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So that's what the Ravid says. He says, according to the Balitosis, How can there be a din d'oraisa that you need chasima l'shma if you don't chasima at all? But according to the Rif, the eda chasima work. Also, independently, you would need chasima l'shma. In light of the Ram's interpretation, the way you would discuss that continuation is you would say, since the eda chasima themselves are eda misimra, right? So that's part of the ksiva. That's part of the kalsav. That's exactly what he'll say. Okay.
So I got a semantic question. When the
Rishonim.
Why does it say out?
Yeah.
Why couldn't it say old?
Well, the...
You wouldn't open yourself then to that argument.
Well, it's according to the answer which says that the only thing you would solve with that is the Ramban's first answer.
Right.
But the second answer about the mice, or the lechatchila, or the ran, you wouldn't.
Right.
You could, I mean, I think it's a... If you just want to exclude the Ramban, it would be a good question. Ramban's one of three or four answers.
Yeah.
So you save a little in the question. Yeah.
It says in the Gemara, it says that the halakha of Ramban, the Gibbs, doesn't say not like Ramban anywhere else.
I mean, it says halakha bar lezer, which would support the Ran.
Yeah, it's worded very funny.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. It doesn't say the Shar Staros halakha to Rabbi Meir. It just says not Rabbi Lezer. So he's saying it's still within Rabbi Lezer. It's Rabbi Lezer 2, not Rabbi Lezer 1. Rabbi Lezer light, not Rabbi Lezer classic. Right. Okay. Good. Let me say something about Purim. I said I would. But we have to say something about Purim within the context of Gittin. So let me... What? And something that isn't humorous either, so... Okay. So let me say the following. The Gemara in Daf Vav Amud Beis in Gittin discusses the requirement of Sirtut. Sirtut means, you know, you make the lines in a... You know, when you write... this Gemara here, the Gemara quotes second on, what did I say? Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows. If you look here, the Gemara, it's like in a little bit more than the middle of the page. On Rabbi Yitzchak. It's about four lines before the wide lines. On Rabbi Yitzchak. Shtayim kosvin shalosh ein kosvin. Two words, write two words in Hebrew. It seems like in Hebrew. The Ramban says it refers to Ashuris, but whatever. You have to write with Sirtut, two words. Two words you can get away without, Sirtut, sorry. Three requires Sirtut. Bimasnita tana gimel kosvin arba'in kosvin. Three words with Sirtut, without Sirtut. Four already requires Sirtut. So you need these lines to formalize the lines of the writing. Okay. Does that have to do with Purim? We'll explain in a minute. So this is a very... interesting halacha. There's a long Tosis here, on Rabbi Yitzchak Shtayim Kosvin, where Tosis talks about the requirements of Sirtut. There's a huge debate among the Rishonim, about which Tosis here quotes. Does the Sefer Torah require Sirtut? Sounds like a strange machlokas, but if I asked anybody around the table what requires Sirtut, the first thing you'd all say would be Sefer Torah. In fact, if you look at the evidence in the various Gemaras, it's clear the Gemara Menachos on Lamed Beis of Beis says mezuzah requires sirtut. Tefillin does not require sirtut. And everything else we're actually not sure about. Like, it's a debate how you interpret certain things. Rabbi Tam was of the opinion that a Sefer Torah does not require sirtut. Rashi was of the opinion that a Sefer Torah requires sirtut. The problem is the Gemara in Megillah. Oh, we're getting closer. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Tezayin Amud Beis, quotes the pasuk in the Megillah, which says, "Divrei Shalom," characterizes the Megillah as "Divrei Shalom Ve'emes." The Gemara says in Megillah, Tezayin Amud Beis, "Divrei Shalom Ve'emes," right? It has to be Amita Shel Torah, and that's why it requires Sirtut. Everybody agrees, in addition to Mezuzah, that a Megillah requires Sirtut because it's Amita Shel Torah. So Rashi says, what does Amita Shel Torah mean? Sefer Torah. We compare Sefer Torah to Megillah. In general, we compare Sefer Torah and Megillah in many respects. Rabbeinu Tam, in this long Tosis here, and in Menachos, and in Sota, Yudzayin, and Beis, they're adamant against this. He insists that there is no sirtut in the Sefer Torah. So what is the Gemara talking about in Megillah when it says, Divrei Shalom Ba'anes, Kamita Shal Torah requires sirtut? So Rabbeinu Tam says, it refers to mezuzah. It refers to the mezuzah. How is mezuzah Mita Shal Torah? So if you look here in Tosus, let's explain, let's read this couple of lines very quickly. Tosus says an amazing thing. It's a long Tosus. Look at the wide line. The Had Amar B'Perek Kama de Megillah has Zayin Amud Beis. Everybody see it? The wide line in Tosus. Divrei Shalom Benes Lamishet Sricha Sirtut Kamita Shal Torah. Amar Rabbeinu Tam V'Lav Haynu Sefer Torah. It's not a Sefer Torah. Torah Sefer Torah doesn't require Sirtut. Talo Boy Sirtut Elhaynu Mezuzah. So why do we call it Amita Shal Torah? The Korolei Amita Shal Torah Al Shem Sheyesh Bo Yichud Malchus Shemayim. An amazing line of Rabbeinu Tam. Why is the mezuzah Amita Shal Torah? What's written in the mezuzah? The parshiyos of Kriya Shema. Right? Kabbalah Samach Shemayim and Yichud Hashem. So it always bothered me, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and many Rishonim accept this Rabbeinu Tam. Either way, it's Rabbeinu Tam. Right? That is amazing. So the only two things that require sirtut are Megillah and Mezuzah. And why Mezuzah? Because Amita Shal Torah? Because of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. So what implication is there for Megillah? Divrei Shalom Ve'emes Kamita Shal Torah means that the Megillah is a sefer of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Kimu Ve'kiblu, right, let Chazal say, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, but not only the Torah Shebichsav this time, but the Torah Shebaal Peh as well. We normally don't think of the essence of the Megillah, and even if there is a Kilu Masha Kiblu in the end of the story, we don't normally think, remember the whole Megillah requires Sirtut because of this link to Megillah and to the idea of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. We normally don't think of the Megillah in that way. We think it was an amazing story, right, a story about miracles. But what Rabbeinu Tam is telling us very profoundly is that the Megillah is a story of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. And the truth is, if you analyze the Megillah properly, right, it really is. It's the whole Megillah centers around Hashgacha, as we know. And the decision taken by a few great men, people really, Mordechai and Esther mostly, right, which reflected remarkable Kabbalah Samach Shemayim and vision. It's interesting. If you look at the Bali Tosis in different places, when they quote this idea of Amita Shal Torah referring to the mezuzah of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, so in some places, like here, Tosis emphasizes Al Shem Sheishpo Sham Yichud Malchus Shemayim. In other places, they speak about either Malchus Shemayim or Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. It sounds like there are two elements in the mezuzah, in the parsha of Kriya Shema. One is Yichud Hashem, and the other is Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Seems both of these elements exist in the Megillah. The idea of Yichud Hashem, in addition to its theological significance, is a clear understanding and perspective about the unity of Hashem means the critical themes that are important. Not confusing the diversity of life for different powers, different sources, you know, different,
Greek gods.
Yeah, that too. And that's in its initial, but that's symbolic also in general of forces in the world. Kishem shemavarchin ala tov, kach mavarchin ala ra. Why? Because what is it that challenges Yichud Hashem? The existence of evil in the world, right? This whole idea of, you know, duality and deism and, you know, various heresies that the world has embraced at various times, all because there's a ra and there's a tov, there's a Shemayim, and there's an Aretz. There are all sorts of different forces in the world. Yichud Hashem, the idea of seeing everything as flowing from a single source, is ultimately, can't prove this right now, the concept of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Kabbalah Samach Shemayim at a religious level and Yichud Hashem at a theological level really come together. And according to this idea of Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, which is also fascinating, Shalom and Emes are usually things that we consider to be polar opposites. Right, famous Medrash in the beginning of Bereishis, you know, Al Yibare, Shalom said this and Emes said that, and, you know, normally we consider Emes and Shalom to be opposites. In a way, you have to compromise Emes in order to, but it isn't, not if you understand Yichud Hashem and Kabbalah Samach Shemayim properly. And the story of Purim, I say, is really that story, the story of principled people making incredibly principled decisions, you know, at crucial moments in our national life. Whether or not we start the Megillah, you know, Balayla Hahu or La Yehudim, the debate really seems to be, you know, which point exactly is the one where this idea of Hashgacha or the remarkable decisions that were made by Mordechai or by Esther, later on by the Jewish people, the ability to respond to the summons of Leich Kinos Kalayhudim, the sense of faith to be able to say, you know, Miodea in Leis Kazos, Higat Lamachus. All of these reflect an amazing, intense level of Emuna, of Yichud Hashem, and of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim. And the fact that we celebrate Purim as we do, you know, as a Mishta of the Simcha, you know, sometimes clouds these elements. I've spoken in the past also about the fact that Tanis Esther is the proper introduction to Purim. A very famous sheet of the Ravid, Mishorim asked the question, you know, there's a list of Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus were all those happy or celebratory days in a calendar. The rule is that you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to eulogize on those days, or on the days preceding them. So Mishorim I'll ask, what about Tainus Esther? Tainus Esther before Purim seems to be contradictory. And they give different answers. The Ravid's answer to this question is, when we talk about Yom HaKohol, right, we're talking about Tainus Esther. The Ravid's argument basically is, Tainus Esther is like no other fast day. The other fast days are sad days, they're days of tshuva and tachad. Tainus Esther is part of the celebration of Purim. We're reenacting his fast, which was the beginning of the salvation. So, for that reason, Tainus Esther has a little bit of a different status than other Tainios, more makel in certain things, but the overlap between Tainus Esther and Purim itself is very important. Sometimes we read the Megillah under emergency circumstances on Tainus Esther, even before nightfall of Purim. Sometimes we continue to fast until, you know, the end of the Megillah, cutting already into Purim. It seems like it's not this sharp kind of Esther, and then we transition into happy, festive Purim, but there's a little element of Tainus Esther in Purim, there's a little element of Purim already in Tainus Esther. This Lech Kinos HaYehudim and the sense of perspective which went along with it is a crucial component in Purim. So even as we celebrate in a very seemingly frivolous way, and all of that is structured, and we're supposed to do that. But you know, Adla Yada Bein Baruch Mordechai Le Aro Haman. But it's important to understand that it really is a remarkable day of Hashgacha and an affirmation of Kabbalah Samach Shemayim and of Yichud Hashem. And in that sense, it's Kamita Shel Torah. It really is Divrei Shalom. So.